Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
God created man, and He placed him in a perfect world. And God wanted mankind to then choose Him. To make that possible for mankind to choose, there had to be an alternative. There had to be a choice. Out of all of the fruit trees in the world, Genesis 2:17, God placed one tree and He told man not to eat of it, or there would be spiritual death. There would be spiritual separation from God. Now, every time that man and woman walked past that tree, they chose God. And they were to walk past that tree, not one time at youth group when they were 11, they were to walk past that tree every day. Every single day they chose God. Every day. John 10:10 tells us that there is a thief that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. There's a thief that wants to defeat you and I. Don't argue with me about the fact that you don't believe in the devil. Have you ever done anything you didn't want to do? Well, why? Have you ever said anything you wished you hadn't said? Well, why? Clearly, there is an enemy out here. Clearly, there. Why don't we just go ahead and call him the devil or Satan or the enemy? But obviously, there is an enemy out here pulling on you and I. And to live the God kind of life, you will have to overcome that enemy. God intended on you living blessed, you living in joy, you living in peace, you living in abundance. God intended on you living in joy in your daily life. And to do that, you will have to overcome daily defeat in your life. The title of today's message is Defeating Defeat. Defeating Defeat. God has a plan for you. Psalms 139 verse 14 said, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." I want each of you to know that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You may not be as tall as somebody, or as short as somebody, or as fat as somebody, or skinny as somebody, or your teeth are big, somebody else's teeth is little. I want you to know God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. 1 Corinthians, Romans talks about the fact that you are gifted. You are gifted. Ephesians tells us that you have been equipped. You're gifted, you're equipped, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it tells us the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. You've messed up. You've messed up real bad. You've blown it. You've blown it real bad. But here's what I want you to know today. God never says, "Oh, no. Well, I had a plan for them, but I guess all that's over." However bad you've messed up, whatever mistakes you've made, you need to know God's calling on your life is irrevocable. It's without repentance. God does not change His mind. He still has a plan and a purpose for you. You just got to get on track with it. No matter what's happened to you. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear me? No matter what has happened to you, no matter what you've gone through, God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. I want to talk today about defeating defeat. Because there is an enemy there that wants you to be defeated and to live in defeat. The dictionary gives us a definition of the word defeat. To win victory over. To bring to nothing. And the enemy wants to make nothing out of your life. Wants you to mount to nothing, be nothing, produce nothing, accomplish nothing. Just exist in this life. It's so very sad to me that our government has now enabled people to do nothing. We've not done a service to people enabling them to do nothing. You can't be happy. You can't be fulfilled. You can't live in joy without being productive. It's the way we were created. And for us to create a system that allows people to do nothing is a sad commentary. For 6,000 years of mankind's history, God had created a system that you had to produce. You had to bear fruit. It was called eating. Any of you partial to doing that? You had to produce if you were going to eat. And for us now to allow people to eat that don't produce, don't contribute, don't give, don't do anything for anybody, we're not helping folks. This last week I was up in the bank and I walked into the lobby and I just stopped. And I started staring at a sign. I'm sure everybody in the bank was staring at me. And I was looking at this sign. And I just stood there staring at it for a long, long time. It says, "Stamp out hunger, donate." And it had a box there where you put canned goods in it. I was just staring. I guess I was staring because I was sweating. I was hot. I was wore smooth, slap out, and it wasn't even hardly noon. I'd been working since early that morning. And I just stared at that box. And I thought, I think I'm going to get a new slogan going. Stamp out hunger, provide a job. What'd be wrong with that sign? If you've got extra money to buy a can of beans and put in this box, then you've got extra money, hire somebody to mow your lawn or to clean your gutter out or to clean your shelves out or to wash your car. Do something for somebody that can cause them to feel good about themselves rather than do something that enables people to live miserable in life. I've got a new slogan. I think I'm going to go worldwide with it. Stamp out hunger, provide a job for the needy. That'll enable people to be happy. That'll enable people to live fulfilled. There is a pull on you. There is a pull on me that wants to cause me to do nothing. There's a pull, just lay in bed. Just keep hitting snooze. Just lay on the couch. Just put a fan on me. See, there's a constant pull for you to do absolutely nothing. And in that, live a very defeated life. Daily, you have to live defeating defeat. Daily, you have to live defeating. I won't lay here. I'm going to get up and I'm going to be happy. Early service related to this point, I don't expect y'all to get anything out of this. But at some of our age, you got to defeat defeat every morning to get out of bed. Oh, I go to bed because I'm so tired and I get up because I can't lay there any longer. My back hurts, my legs hurt, my arms hurt. I got to get up and you just try to get stuff going again. That'll never happen to me. Just wait. It's a choice you make. I'm going to get out of this bed and I'm going to accomplish something today and I'm going to be happy while I do it. It's a choice that you make. See, I choose to walk past that tree every day of my life. I choose to walk past that tree. God's got a call. God's got a purpose for my life. There's something I've got to accomplish. And whether I feel like it, whether I'm calling in sick, that I got a headache, or I got a backache, my toe hurts, my grandmother's toe hurts, so I'm going to go sit with her. I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to go do something. I'm going to accomplish something today. I'm not calling in sick. I'm going to go there well. Come on, we got to make ourselves walk past that tree that wants to defeat you every hour of the day. The church has got to motivate people to live according to God's will. Not just walk past the tree one time. Yes, that's the greatest decision of your life, to walk past the tree one time. But you every day choose who you're going to serve. Every day you choose not to eat of that tree. Every day you choose to follow Him, daily living in His will. It's called making Jesus Lord of your life. There's a constant battle for lordship in your life. And one Lord leads to life and peace. And another Lord leads to death and destruction. And we're the territory being fought over. There is no demilitarized zone. Everywhere you are all the time, there's a battle for your choices. The only course of action that you and I can take is to fight daily the battle and win that battle that's trying to defeat us. Daily, we have to defeat defeat. I want you to understand the battle is not for who's most powerful, God or the devil. Without a doubt, God's already won that battle. That's not what the battle is over. The reason God's defeated the devil, but the reason He hasn't banned him from us is God's fundamental commitment to the freedom of His creation to make a choice for Him. And the enemy is around us day in and day out. Well, why'd God leave the devil here? For the same reason He put the tree in the garden. It's to give you and I a choice. It's to give it. Why is the devil? The devil's been defeated, but why is he still here? He's still here because God wants a tree. God wants a tree. Wherever you are, throughout your day, there's always a tree. You can reach over and take you a bite of hate, take you a bite of anger, take you a bite of temper, take you a bite of depression. Always, every day, you can reach over and take you a bite, or you can pass that tree and live according to God's will and plan and purpose for your life. God is a sovereign being. And what illustrates His sovereignty is the fact that God does not infringe on man's choice. I hear people say God is in control. We got bumper stickers that say God is in control. We forget that God could have stopped the serpent. He could have slapped that piece of fruit out of Eve's mouth. He could have grabbed it out of Adam's hand. But God set before you and I life and death. And He's given you the choice. He's given you the choice. While you can say God is in control, He's chosen to give you the choice. I read a statement years ago, and I never forget it. The greatest, most noble authority is always demonstrated by the freedom it allows its subjects. While God is all-powerful and He's all-knowing, He never crosses your choice. You and I are free to choose to walk past that tree in the garden each hour of the day. For you to defeat defeat, two things have got to happen. Number one, you've got to be able to discern between good and evil. You've got to know what's right and what's wrong. Number one, you've got to know what's right and what's wrong. And then number two, you have to choose what is right. Previous generations in America, they knew the difference in good and evil. I'm not going to stand here today and act like I have been perfect my whole life. I've done some things wrong. I've made some wrong choices. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I've never made a wrong choice that I didn't know the whole time I was doing it, it was wrong. I sure didn't put it on Facebook and brag about it. Fact is, while I was doing wrong, I always had me somebody at the door looking down the hall to holler, "The teacher's coming," so I could stop doing the foolishness. I'll do this, but you go watch that door, because I knew what I was about to do was wrong, and I want to make sure I knew before the teacher got there and found out. I knew I was wrong. I knew I was wrong, and I didn't want my teacher finding out. I sure didn't want my mom finding out. I don't want my grandmother finding out. She lived next to a walnut tree. Son, have you ever seen a woman strip the leaves off of a walnut limb? Floop! I mean, one motion. I knew what was wrong. I just chose bad. But I knew what was wrong. Here's what's concerning me. We're in a generation now that don't know. They don't know the difference in good and evil. It's one thing to know the difference and just chose evil. We're in a generation now that's not even embarrassed by the wrong they're doing. They're out bragging on it, putting pictures of themselves doing it. See, we're in a crisis today. We knew right and wrong, and mankind has always done wrong. That's why we needed Jesus. That's why we needed him to forgive us of our sins. We knew what was right, but we couldn't do it. We knew what the law said, but we couldn't keep it. The crisis today is we got a generation that doesn't know what's right and wrong. And here is the alarming thing to me today. How can you defeat defeat in your life if you have no idea what's causing your defeat? We got a generation of people that are unhappy, they're depressed, they're miserable, they're trying one drug, two drugs, three drugs, mixing this drug with that drug, mixing this drug, that drug, and alcohol. They're doing all they can to try to get some peace and to try to get some joy. The problem is they don't know what's causing their misery. They don't know why they're so unhappy. They don't know why life is not working for them. That's what's tragic to me. How can we defeat defeat if you have no idea of what's defeating you? God didn't give us instructions, clear instructions on what is sin, because he wanted to ruin every teenager's fun. He wanted to confine every man's enjoyment of life. He did so because sin defeats you. It will defeat you. To defeat defeat, number one, we're going to have to know what's good and what's evil. Number one, we're going to have to know what's right and wrong. And then, number two, we'll have to choose what's right. When you become knowledgeable of the devil's schemes, when you see the results in your life of what you were promised was going to be fun, you were told it feels good, you were told you're going to love this, and then you see the cost and the pain of what you thought was going to be fun, the devil can no longer take advantage of you in those areas. The church is here to teach, to train, and to mature the believer. But it is only you as an individual that can defeat defeat in your life. You're the only one. We can love you. We can hug you. We can put our arm around you. We can pray for you. We can lock arms with you. But you and you alone are the only one that can defeat defeat in your life. Daily, you're in a battle for your peace, for your joy, and for your blessed life. Daily, you're in a battle for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven through you. There's an all-out pull, a war, temptations to pull you into a place where you're defeated. And too many are living a defeated life. Sad, unhappy, depressed, going just through the motions of living. They're getting up and they're going through the day and they're going to bed and they're getting up and they're going through the day. They're going through the motions of living, just existing, but not experiencing life and life more abundant. Because of the guilt of what they did, because of the regret of what was done, because of their anger over who did what to them, because of the destruction that has taken place in their life, they are living a defeated life. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, but in Hebrews chapter 11, it's referred to as the faith chapter. It's referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Jacob. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 29, the people of Israel. Verse 31, Rahab. We'll talk a lot about that chapter because I know about those folks. Noah got drunk, caused all kind of trouble for his kids. Abraham and Sarah lied just to save their own necks. Isaac, a horrible father, a horrible husband, played favorites with his two boys. Jacob schemed with his mom, lied to their dad, stole the birthright from his brother. Moses, in a fit of rage, murdered a man. Rahab, you know what she did? Your Lord, she's a prostitute, she was a harlot. The Bible is full of imperfect people. And I want you to know today, God uses imperfect people who will say, God, here I am. I've blown it, I've messed up, but here I am, use me. Here I am, use me. You're not too far gone for God to use. You're not too far done for God to use. You can't live a defeated life. You can't live a defeated life by faith. Not because of what they've done, but by faith they live above what has happened to them. Jesus came that you might have life and have life more abundant. God sees the fact that you in fact might lose a battle, but you don't have to lose the war. Make sure that you understand, losing a battle is very different than losing the war. Because you have suffered a few defeats in your life, don't quit. All is not lost. Get up and now win the war. I just cannot find myself ever preaching a religious sounding message without teaching you some 1, 2, 3s on how to do it. I want to give you 7 abilities needed to defeat defeat in your life. I always like to give you the number. That way you young people can start counting down, and when I get to 6, you can know he's almost done. That sets a great anticipation for the remainder of the sermon in our young people's hearts. As we learn to defeat defeat, number one, you got to keep moving forward. You can't buy the thought that I'm finished. You can't buy the thought that I'm done. You can't buy the thought that your goose is cooked. I mean, yes, you've blown it. Yes, you may have missed that one. Yes, this is a terrible problem. Yes, you made a bad decision. Yes, I blew it, but you cannot accept defeat. You have to keep moving forward. You've got to keep moving forward. Number two, to defeat defeat, you got to see your crisis, see your hurt, see your difficulty as this is a temporary hurt, a temporary, as time goes on, this will lessen. Terry's always saying to our family, this too will pass. This will pass and tomorrow will be another day. This will pass and tomorrow will, this is not the end. We're going to have to make it through this. This hurt and this pain, while it'll be here forever, this is a temporary situation I'm in. I've got to keep moving forward. Number three, to defeat defeat, see your situation as an isolated event. The devil wants to compile. Yeah, see, you blew it when you were 7. You blew it when you were 17. Look what happened to you in your 20s. Now look what happened to you in your 30s. Well, look now. Now look what's happened. Just throw in the towel. Throw in the marriage. Throw in the kid. Throw in the fight. Just forget the finances. Just give up. See, you got to see this as a situation. You got to see this as one situation that you're dealing with. Yes, we've got a number of problems in our life, but you can't let them all compile on you at one time. I got to deal with this one situation at a time, one emotion at a time, one decision at a time. To defeat defeat, you will have to deal with isolated incidents and not let them compile and build a mountain on you. I have a future. I have a life still ahead. I still have a future and I still have a life as long as I'm alive. That might not be tomorrow, that might not be next week, but as long as I'm alive, I still have a future, and I've got to keep moving forward in my life, and I'll have to handle this situation. Number four, to defeat defeat, you have to keep expectations realistic. I see so many people telling me what they're going to do, and I'm thinking, that can't work. You set yourself up for great defeat. I spared myself great defeat when I turned loose of my music career. Some of you didn't know me back then. I had long hair way back here. And everybody with long hair is destined to be a rock star. And so I was. I was destined with a guitar, and I practiced them. I got the moves. I was just lacking a few other things. When I was 17, my hair began to fall out. And it began to dawn on me, you're not destined for greatness in the music industry. Hair goes, music ability all went. Here's what I'm telling you. You will never experience victory outside of your giftings. And you're going to have to be mature enough to see what God has gifted you to do. And you experience great victories in your life when you do what you're gifted to do. And you set yourself up for great defeat when you get way outside of your giftings. I'm going worldwide with this. Well, you might just try your neighbor and see how it goes over. Okay. You know, don't set yourself up for defeat. Number five, to defeat defeat, you have to focus on your strengths. I hear people tell me all the time what they're not good at. And they practice that list, what they're not good at. And the more they go over that list, the more they convince themselves they're no good for nothing. Because they're not good at this and not good at that. Listen, I'm not good at spelling. I'm not good at English. Not only am I not good, I can't type. And I've just got my third book out. But what I found out was, I can hire somebody that can type. I found somebody that knows how to spell. I found somebody that was good in English. See, what you do is you do what you do, and you don't let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can do. If you're going to defeat defeat, then you will have to major, focus, concentrate on your strengths and not focusing on your weaknesses. I'm not good at math. Hire an accountant, because there is somebody that's great at math. Just because you can't do it doesn't mean you are good for nothing and can't do anything. Young people, are you ready? Number six. To defeat defeat, change what's not working. Well, why do people keep doing what's not working? I'll never get that. I walked in early in our marriage, shoved open the back door, and I hollered, "Hey woman, is supper ready? I'm starving." Didn't work. It didn't produce the evening that I had in mind. And as I was ducking and dodging, I made a change. I don't spend the next 38 years coming in and hollering, "Hey woman, is supper ready?" I open the door. "Hi babe, how was your day?" See, what you do is you make adjustments. Why do you want to keep doing what's not working? You're on your ninth marriage. How many more are you going to go before you recognize there's a common denominator here? Don't just keep doing what does not work for you. I've invested money in stuff and lost every dime of it. Well, I don't invest in that anymore. But people just live their life, keep on doing the same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing, and blaming everybody else because all of life's not working for you. Come on, change what's not working. Terry and I went to a seminar over 30 years ago. I don't remember not one thing about it. She doesn't either, but she and I can both, you find us any time of the night or day and ask us, and we tell you this one sentence we both left there with. This guy stood up there and he said, "Don't keep getting mugged going down the same alley." She and I looked at each other, and our life's never been the same since. It's changed our whole life. Don't keep getting mugged going down the same alley. Oh, I'll tell you, Tim, every time we talk, we fight. Well, you idiot. I can understand that twice, but I can't understand that for 42 years. Why don't you change your tone of voice, or change your approach, or change your body language, or change the way you sit? Figure out a way to talk without fighting. Don't keep getting mugged going down the very same alley in your life. If your finances is not working, don't keep handling money like you've been handling money. Whatever area is not working in your life, make a change. If you fight about being late every single morning, set your alarm for 30 minutes earlier and you'll never fight again. Don't keep doing the same thing. Change what's not working for you. And here we are, rounding third, headed for home number 7. To defeat defeat, you're going to have to bounce back. Wish I had a better word for you, but I don't. You're going to have defeats. You're going to have hard knocks. Your day was wonderful and you walked around a corner and that phone call caught you right on the chin and knocked you out cold. I mean, you were at your office working and that next thing happened and you caught it right in the chin, and the next thing you knew, the back of your head hit the floor. You will take licks throughout your days. You will have roadblocks and stumbles and falls. You will hit the back of your head. Sometimes it'll knock you so cold you'll fall forward and bloody your nose. But here's what you're going to have to do. You got to bounce back. You have to bounce back. Battles are lost all the time by people who ultimately win the war. And you need to know that. And you're going to lose some of the battles. It's going to sideswipe you and it's going to cut your feet right out from under you. But what you have to do is you have to bounce back and win the next 3 battles, the next 6 battles. What you've got to do, if you're going to defeat defeat, you have to bounce back. God created you and I to have life and to have life more abundant. God did not create anybody to live unhappy and miserable and depressed. That's not your lot in life. Well, that's just where I have to live. God did not create anybody to just exist, to go through the motions of their day. God created a great life. In the morning, get up. Get up before daylight and watch the sun come up and watch the day explode. Watch the birds. Watch the colors. Watch the colors in the trees. Watch life as it unfolds for us. Throughout your day as you're driving down the road, look at the colors on that hill. Look at the colors in the creek that you're driving beside. God created life and life abundant. I don't know if you've noticed this, but life is not black and white. It's not gray. Look at the colors. Look at the enjoyment. Pick you a flower and stare at it for an hour and you can't find all of the uniqueness, all of the spectacular colors in that one flower. God created life and life abundant. And as you go through your day, look around and see the abundance that God has created us to live in, and don't miss it. And to do so, you'll have to defeat defeat. Today, I want you to know there's an enemy that wants to defeat you. Daily, hour by hour, things happen to defeat you. Occasionally, a huge crisis hits your life. Huge, huge crisis hits your life. It all comes to defeat how much life you have left. When you get overcome, all you can do is keep moving forward. See the crisis as it will get easier as time comes. See this as one crisis. Keep your expectations of yourself realistic of what I can now do at 60 years old. I've got to be realistic about what I can do and what I can't do. Focus on your strengths. Change what's not working for you and bounce back. As you live fulfilling God's call on your life, God's call on your life right now, you're called to be a student. You're called to be a camp counselor. You're called to be an employee, an employer. You're called to be a husband, a wife, a mother, a father. Where you are right now, you're called to be a teenager in this culture. Live each and every day of your life defeating defeat and live a victorious life. Y'all stand. Lord, we give you praise in this place. Come on, let's give him praise and glory. We give you praise for the abundance in life, for the beauty in life, for the magnificent life that we've been given. Thank you, Lord, that we don't live in a gray world. Thank you, Lord, for the abundant abundance that we live in. Lord, help us defeat the defeat as it comes our way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.